In your Bible, please. Once again, we turn to Paul's letter to the church at Philippi. One of seven letters written during the time of his first and then last imprisonment. From 60 AD to 67 AD, with a little break, the first four letters written in that rented home in Rome, chained, though, to a praetorian guard. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and that personal letter to Philemon. And then, about a 3 or 4 year release from Roman prison, during which he wrote to Titus and wrote his first letter to Timothy. And then back into Roman prison, this time in a dungeon. And under the guidance of the Spirit of God, he gives to us the last of those seven letters written from 60 AD to 67 AD before his martyrdom. Second Timothy. A special church, as you are well aware, the first church to be established on the European continent. A church that continued, as he's writing this, it's been 11 years since that church was born. A church that continues to be special because they partnershiped with him in proclaiming Christ from that very first day, even to the time he's now writing in 61 AD this epistle. Our attention over the last several weeks, we began this study back in May of 2022, has been in the third chapter, with our attention recently on verses 16 and 17. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, brethren. Be followers together of me. And note, mark them which walk so as we have us for an example. You have us for an example. And we've been looking at this walk. We are in the process of being conformed unto the image of Christ. As far as God's concerned, we're already perfect. Whom he justified, declared right in Christ Jesus before him. He also glorified. He sees us in the perfection of his Son already seated in the heavenlies. But we're not there yet. Oh, there are those who have gone on before experiencing the glory of being in the presence, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But yet, still awaiting the fullness of that glorification, a body like unto Christ's glorified body. But until that is fully experienced, we're to be walking in glory. We're to be experiencing, and there's nothing that can compare with the experiencing of a personal relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're being conformed unto his image. And the image of walking now, Christ-like, is the exhortation that we've been looking at over these last several weeks. It's an individual walk, as you remember, not isolated, but individual. But it is a walk that is integrated, Paul is saying. Follow Christ as you have me and the brothers who you know are doing so, walk Christ-like. Imitate. We're in this together. An integrated, imitative walk. A Christ-like walk. Now, some of you haven't quite grasped that fully yet. You're already perfect, as we all are in Christ Jesus. But get this mind. You're to walk now as perfect. You're to walk Christ-like. And that's where our attention has been. In verses, actually 11, 10, down through verse 17. Come on over to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Therefore, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling therewith you were called. We've been called to be conformed unto the image of Christ. Walk Christ-like, worthy, with all lowliness and meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. This is a high calling. It's to be fleshed out. It's to be practically experienced in humble behavior, humble conduct, just as our Lord humbled himself and gave himself, sacrificed himself for the benefit of others, for the benefit of all who would embrace by faith his sacrifice. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. That's our hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory, not a hope so, a surety, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's that Spirit baptism. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we were last week. Verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. For as the body is one, speaking of the physical body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. That's true of the physical body. It is also true of the body of Christ. So also is Christ, one body, many members. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. I will build my church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Paul informs us that that church, which was a mystery during ancient times before the Messiah came, is now being realized. It's now being built. And it's being built by Jews and Gentiles being put into the body of Christ as one. Each one a member. Each one uniquely baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. And having been all made to drink into one Spirit, and you'll remember last week, we went to Sychar and the woman at the well. Come on over to John chapter 7. We were in John chapter 4. But in John chapter 7, which links us to that experience of the woman at Samaria, partaking of that living water, that which she did not come to draw, but now gives evidence of having participated in. She left her water pot. She came for physical water, but she leaves with living water. She demonstrated that. Don't need this pot for that which now I have. And she declared that, going back into Sychar. John 7:37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Not quoting Isaiah, but referencing Isaiah chapter 12. The living water that flows out of the well of salvation. That was the message that Isaiah shared. Living water flowing out of the well of salvation. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. He made a promise concerning the Spirit of God, his Spirit. He made a promise in that upper room after he had shared that he was going to be leaving. He needed to go back to the presence of the Father after finishing his work for which he was sent to accomplish. But he wasn't going to leave them or those who will believe on him as orphans. Not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Spirit. Spirit's going to be in you permanently. My Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, is going to be in you. Hadn't taken place yet when he made that promise, but the performance of that promise took place after his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. 50 days after that took place, the outpouring on the day of Pentecost of his Spirit, bringing new life, bringing salvation. The church was born, Acts chapter 2, through the baptizing of the Spirit of God. The baptizing of the Holy Spirit is not some experience that takes place in your walk with the Lord. We, each one of us, were baptized, placed into the body of Christ, into his death. But he came forth alive. Into his death and resurrection. Now alive forever, and his new life is imparted to us. That's what water baptism is to picture. That's why those who baptize by immersion feel that that's the best biblical expression of what took place the moment you believed. You and I were placed into, that's the word baptized. You know, when a preacher baptizes you, if he wants to be a literalist, you're in trouble. The word means to place into. It doesn't say anything about taking out of. But it is into that identification with his death and burial and resurrection and ultimately experiencing the glory that he now has, that which was restored to him, which he had forever. is ours. Baptized into the body of Christ. Come on back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 14, for the body, referencing again the spiritual body, the physical body, and how the spiritual body is similar, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? Of course, the answer to that is no. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. This is God's doing. The physical body is a magnificent creation of Almighty God. There are those who would want us to think that somehow we have the right to destroy what God has made. God has given into his creation male and female to reproduce to the praise of his glory. And life is precious. It's his creation. And all of God's creation has sitting over it the majesty of mankind. It's his crowning glory. Let us make man in our own image. Beautiful creation. A unique creation. This is the way God pleased. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. This is a magnificent creation of God that is integrated. It has many parts, but it is one. It is made up of many parts that are interdependent. One part has a function, another a function. They function as a whole, the body. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more weak, feeble, they're necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable. Interesting word, keep that word in mind. It's the word timē in the Greek, honorable. Upon these we bestow more abundant timē, honor. And our uncomely parts, our less presentable parts, have more abundant presentability, comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath composed, put together the body, having given more abundant honor, timē, to that part which lacked. Every part, indispensable. Those that seemingly are not as important are to be honored. that there should be no schism in the body. Physical body is what Paul is picturing here to give a spiritual message concerning the church, the body of Christ, his body, that there should be no schism, division, disunity. We're together in this, indispensable each part, but that the members should have the same care of one another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. And we get this picture, okay. This part of the body is hurting. That really affects the whole body. Spiritually, if one part, member of the body, is suffering, whether it be physically suffering because of being a natural body, or suffering for the cause of Christ, one member uniquely affects the whole. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, most of your translations, I'm sure, say, all the members rejoice with it. Well, does that mean if one of you, for the cause of Christ somehow, are honored, then all of us can rejoice with you? You see, it really doesn't matter if the Rotary Club gives you an honor for whatever you have done. And you can be assured of this. If you serve Christ, you ain't going to be honored in this world. So what's he talking about? See, rather than honor when you faithfully serve the Lord, you're hated. That's what they did to him. And he said to us, what? Don't expect anything different. So what's he talking about here? He's talking about glory be to God the Father and on earth. Peace. Glory. Honor. Here's the word doxeo. You remember the doxology? Honoring God? That's what he's talking about here. So if one member, doxeo, is glorified, what's that all about? Going to be with him. All of us rejoice. They're having a time of remembrance for one of the brothers that most everyone here is not only aware of, but had been close to. What's our response? Praise God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Now, I ain't making this up. Larry and I spent a little time last week before the service, and he was talking about the significance of word studies in the Scripture. Very helpful. Always reminding ourselves that any word study has to be contextually in the context in which it is shared immediately and with regard to other scriptures, understood. Come on over to Romans chapter 8. One part of the body suffers, we all suffer. One part of the body, doxa, glory, not time, doxeo, glorify, we all rejoice. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Pop. adoption. This is that aspect of being placed into the body of Christ, into the family of God, as a full-grown child, son. The moment we trust Christ as Savior, we're born anew into the family of God. We are also adopted, placed into the body of Christ, the family of God, but placed there now as adults, responsible for behaving as a... See, God didn't call us to behave like babies. He called us to behave like adult children. That's adoption. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Spend a lot more time there. I won't, but just how gracious God is. How loving and caring is God. When all things around us seem to be tearing us down, when all things around us, as we look at this world, seem to be against us, His Spirit assures us, you're mine. That's what the Word of God says. The Spirit of God in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Doesn't matter what's happening here and now. I know, I have the assurance that I'm going to be glorified. I have that assurance of that peace that passes all understanding. How does that happen? Spirit of God. We pray, and the Spirit of God allows us a peace that passes all understanding. The Spirit of God gives us discernment when we're being bombarded by all kinds of things that would take us away from the truth. Spirit of God. Does that? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we, here it comes, suffer with Him, that we may also be, doxeo, glorified together, brother or sister, glorified. He's awaiting. She's awaiting our coming to be glory. It's already true. It's already experiencing that glory of being in His presence. How is our response? Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Here it comes again, with the glory, with the doxa, which shall be revealed in us. Back to 1 Corinthians 12. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be glorified, all the members rejoice with it. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Ephesians chapter 4. Where we were a little earlier, but this time at verse 17. Verse 1, walk worthy, high, holy, heavenly calling. Walk humbly before your God. Walk humbly. Serving. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not. Walk worthy? Walk not. Contrast. Walk not as other Gentiles walk. This is a church primarily made up of Gentiles. Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity, the empty-headed, the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, hardness, really, of their heart. Walk not with a hollow, empty head. Before you were a new creation in Christ, your head was filled with everything that was hostile toward God. And it manifests itself in a behavior of darkness. Don't you be walking with an empty head. And don't be walking with a hard, evil heart. That's the way you did walk before. But now, that's no longer the way you walk. That's why the scriptures are so strong in getting us to realize we need to feel, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You've got to be in the Word, because we're in a world. We need the Word. Otherwise, we're going to be walking the way we used to. Empty heads, hard hearts. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Christ. That little word, if, is one of those interesting first-class conditions. If this is the case, and it is, see, that's what the first-class condition says. If this be, and it is, the case, that now, in Christ, things are different. If so be that you have heard, and you have, of him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Christ. Our time's gone this morning. Jesus said to those Jews, you shall know the truth. Truth's going to set you free. They had a knee-jerk reaction to that. We won't go there. Later on, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except by me. That's the truth. You used to walk in the lie. You used to perform as liars. No longer. That's no longer an option. We've been changed. New life. In Christ, don't walk that way anymore. There's more to come. Father, thank you. Thank you for reaching us in the depths of sin and pulling us by your mercies, pulling us by your grace, in us by your love, out of death, despair, unto newness of life. We can never, and we shall forever, give you the praise that is rightly yours. In Jesus' name, amen.